Morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's good to be back, so to speak. I'll just start my talk today with reading a short extract from Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. It's Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke fits perfectly, and my burden I give is light." The title of my talk today is a simple title, it's peace. Now, peace is a word we often hear in this world that we live in today. But for my part, what I see of it, the world seems devoid of peace. We continue to hear about war and terrorism, conflict in the world, conflict in homes, traffic noise, there's so many people on the earth, mobile phones, all those things, it seems so difficult to find peace. But what does that word mean? What does peace mean? Now, I'm sure it means lots of things to lots of people, but I thought, where shall I start? So I thought, well, I'll look it up in a dictionary. So the first place I started, I actually looked in the Oxford Living Dictionary. And there were a number of meanings given there. Things like freedom from disturbance, tranquility, mental or emotional calm, state or period in which there is no war or war is ending, a treaty agreeing peace between warring states, free from anxiety or distress. And this is a very strange one, but it's in there just the same. It says dead, and therefore free from the difficulties of life. That seems a very extreme way of finding peace from the difficulties of life to me, but it's in the dictionary. It also says in a state of friendliness, which I think is a very important one, and a strange one, I think, for peace, but when you think about it, it's very true. And the state of being free from civil disorder. It also said its origins, which I'd not really thought about, but I thought, last I'd seen them, I thought, well, I might as well put them in there. It says it's Middle English, which is strange, because the next bit says it's from Old French, which is pais, spelled P-A-I-S, so I don't know whether the pronunciation is good or not. But also Latin is pack, which is P-A-X or P-A-C. Now, when I thought about it, the old French bit sounded more like black country to me, you know, or like a bit of pace and quiet, me. But, moving on, I thought, while I'm looking at the English, let's look at some more established languages. So what was it in Greek? In Greek, sorry. And the Greek word is Irene, and translated, that's fairly similar meanings as the English dictionary, but it also has quietness and rest. So I also thought, well, let's look at Hebrew. And this is a word that surprised me. It was very familiar to me, and I'm sure it would be familiar to all of you. The word for peace in Hebrew is shalom. And translated means harmony, wholeness, completeness, prosperity, welfare, and tranquility. All fantastic things. But apparently it can be used idiomatically to mean both hello and goodbye. Nice greeting, maybe. Whilst I was looking at the meaning of these things on the old, good old interweb, I found so many other interesting facts about peace. Or maybe they weren't about peace. Because in our world, since 3600 BC, there have only ever been 292 years of peace. There have been 14,350 wars of all sizes, big and small. And in those wars, 3.64 billion people have died. And if you could find enough gold, I think, to do this, if you made a belt 97.2 miles wide, 33 feet thick, and you circled it once around the earth, that gold, the value of that gold, would be the same value of the property that has been destroyed in all those wars. Now, those are incredible statistics. But the one thing to suggest to me is actually, as human beings, we seem to know anything other than peace. In fact, you know, we seem to relish in the opposite of peace. And that actually is a more incredible fact than the actual statistics themselves. Now, I'm sure if I went from here today and I went down into Kidderminster and I carried out a survey and asked the people there what they thought their meaning of peace was, I'm sure many of their answers would be similar to what I've said about from the dictionary meanings. And I know they'd be influenced by what we see on the news and current events and things like that, and the war and things. But if I then went and asked the same question of Christians, and I mean Christians with true faith, not just the weddings, funerals and Christians, what would their answers be? And I think that raises an interesting question, because I think their answer would probably be very similar to those of the general public. And they, again, would be influenced by current events. But what I'd really like to hope is that they would be centred on God. Now, when I was thinking of something to preach today, I looked at a number of things. So why did I choose the topic of peace? And I thought, maybe I didn't choose it. Maybe it chose me. It's something I've thought a lot about in recent times, about peace and what it really means and how do we achieve it. And I think this is because my life at this moment in time seems to be utter chaos. Work is really, really busy. I come home, I've got DIY to do, I've got to pick Lucy up, my daughter, take her here, take her there, I've got this to do, that to do. Just everything's all over the place. I go to bed, I go to sleep, I wake up thinking about what I should have done, what I hadn't done, and what I've got to do. So I don't sleep very well, so I'm tired a lot. I just seem to have no peace at all, it just seems to be chaos. And I'm sure, I know from some of the people here that I know quite well, that you understand what I mean because you have the same problems. And I know from what you've said to me in the past, life can be just so chaotic. It just seems as though it's beating us down, it's grinding us into the floor at times. So, the word peace, let's look at it just for a moment and from a different perspective and look at what maybe it should mean to us all. Now obviously it should mean all those things that I've talked about, and I don't mean the war and the band of gold. I mean the bit where it says free from disturbance, free from anxiety or distress, having tranquility. Oh wow, that'd be fantastic. Having mental and emotional calmness. I forgot what that's like. Being in a state of friendliness. Which is a strange one, a sense of friendliness, but actually when you think about it, that's what peace is all about. So how do I find these things? How do you find these things? How do we all find these things? And why does it seem so hard to find these things? Now, I can't really speak for you, because it would be wrong for me to do that. But for me, it's become obvious. The reason why I can't find peace is because I'm looking in the wrong place. And I'm sure those that know me know that actually Jesus, or faith in Jesus, is a relatively new concept to me. And I know when I sit and look in the room, there's a lot, most of you have a lot more experience of Jesus and having faith in him. And maybe you've already found peace. But I just ask for your indulgence for today. Now if I go back to the beginning of Matthew 11, this is just one of many examples in the Bible showing us how to find peace. But what we have to think about, this is not just peace as in 5 minutes peace, you know, without the telly on or the kids running around. This is peace that the Lord gives us. It's the Lord's peace. His words tell us it's not a peace the world can give us. It goes beyond our human understanding. But it is a gift he gives to us, which we need to take. For example, human beings in their quest for peace spend millions of pounds collectively chasing it through counsellors, psychiatrists, spiritualists, you name it. Diplomats travel all over the world, consuming tons of natural resources, chasing peace for warring nations and people in conflict. The legal system is the same, chasing people with divorce and all sorts of things. All this is going on for people to try and find peace. But does it work? No. Why doesn't it work? Because if you think about it, the truth is, peace is something that we can't purchase. It's something that we receive. And guess what? We can only receive that peace, and when you think about God's peace, if we're willing to receive it. It's not forced upon us, but it's there anyway. It's there for the taking. And we bear in mind, as I said, the peace that Jesus gives us is truly a wonderful calibre of peace. As his word says, it's not the kind of peace the world gives. So, let me try and attempt to give you some pictures of what that peace can be like. The peace that Jesus can give us. It's the kind of peace that enables us to experience an inner calm, in spite of all the circumstances, that normally drives around the bend and causes us to be just stressed. One of the things I thought about was like, if you think of a hurricane, the devastation and the turmoil in a hurricane, But a hurricane is a unique storm in the sense that it has an eye, a centre part, where in that centre, despite all the chaos around it, it is calm, it is still, it is peaceful. And maybe that's something that Jesus' peace is like. I also thought of something else. There's a picture I've seen. I've seen it in different places, but I know it may be magazines, on the TV, on the internet, what. And you probably may have seen it yourself. But it's a picture of a lighthouse. Just stuck, it looks like, in the middle of the sea. Somebody decided to build a lighthouse just in this place. I think it's somewhere off the coast of France. And there's massive waves all around it. And it looks as though it's just going to be engulfed. It's going to be swept off the rock and destroyed. But as part of this picture, in the bottom, there's no wave. There's a doorway. And stood in the doorway is the lighthouse keeper. He's got his hands in his pockets. Seems perfectly calm. So he hasn't got a care in the world. So he's there. Now, this is what Jesus gives us, the peace that Jesus gives us is like. You know, our life is that storm. And those waves can break over us and wash us away. But we can still find that peace. So if we're looking at pictures and images of peace, we should look towards Jesus himself and the examples he showed us. Because he knew peace. For example, going back to a storm. If you think of the very storm, we talked about it not long ago. When the disciples were on the boat, and they were panicking, what was Jesus doing? He was having a nap. He was drowsy. He went to sleep. They feared that boat was their tomb, but for Jesus, it was a cradle. Another time when Jesus was teaching the 5,000, that was 5,000 men. That doesn't include the other people there, the women and the children. And as the time went on, the disciples were panicking. How are we going to feed all these people? They were all stressed and running around. And when they told Jesus, did it stress him out? He faced the situation with a truly unworldly calm. Maybe there was 15,000 people there, with all the people. Did Jesus stress? No. He didn't even break sweat. He just trusted in God, and he fed all those people. He began his earthly ministry. When he began his earthly ministry in the synagogue, and he told them that he was the Messiah, what did they want to do? They wanted to throw him off a cliff. But did he panic? No. He calmly walked through their midst. Professional mourners at the home of Jairus laughed at him when he said the little girl wasn't dead, she was only asleep. He calmly entered her room and raised her from the dead. When he got off the boat and he was faced with the raging demonics in the graveyard at Gadara, was he scared? No. And even when you think down, right down to the last parts of his life, those terrible times, when the temple guard came to arrest him, did he panic? No. He even took the time to heal the man's ear that Peter had cut off with his sword. And when Jesus was on trial, the travesty of a trial that he faced, he stood there and calmly moved from judge to judge as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep is silent before a shearer, he opened not his mouth. And later, at that very end, when he was nailed to the cross, that terrible thing, he didn't curse his executioners like all the other prisoners did. He prayed for them. For God, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, I for one would love that kind of peace. I would like to be able to experience that, and I'm sure you would. And when you actually think about it, who wouldn't? You'd be stupid not to want to experience that kind of peace. So can you imagine what it's like to be able to walk through our trials, which are nothing compared to those? Those trials in our life that seem insignificant, and do it exactly the same way as Jesus did? Well, actually, we can. And guess what? That's what he wants us to do. So how do we do it? Well, the people I see in this room today, I've already started on that journey. They've already got one foot on the ladder. And why is that? It's because you've accepted the Lord into your heart. So if we've done that, and we're already on that journey, why do we struggle? And the struggle is because the root cause of our lack of inner peace is, to some degree or other, we're sinners. We've fallen. And that puts us at odds with the Lord. And if we're to receive his gift fully, then we have to resolve our part of that conflict. And this is a conflict It began when sin entered the world in the Garden of Eden and Adam and Eve, when they disobeyed God's law. And that special relationship was damaged. Which, and again, as I said, to some extent or another, we as humans have continued to damage ever since. So what do I mean by continue to damage the relationship? How do we do that? We damage it by living our lives by our own will and not that of Christ. In Isaiah 53, verse 6, it describes the selfishness when it says, all of us have strayed away like sheep. We have left God's path to follow our own. Peace left this earth when sin entered it, and we have been going our own way ever since. And we are doing this by not following his will in either our words, our thoughts, or our deeds. Think of it this way. Jesus came to the earth to make peace again between God and mankind. He died for our sins. He bore the iniquity of the human race in his own body. He became our peace offering. Sometimes I wish I can use some of these words because I find it very difficult to say, but his death was a gift of reconciliation for us. Now, if you think back to the Old Testament, and I know we've been reading it recently, there are many things in there. Many times it talks about his people making offerings and sacrifices to God because their enmity between him and themselves. Isaiah was inspired by God to recognise that Jesus' death on the cross was a peace offering to God for all mankind. And it says, again, in Isaiah 53, verse 5, that he was wounded and crushed for our sins. He was beaten that we might have peace. And if we look further in the Bible, Colossians 1, verse 20, again it says, and by him God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of his blood on the cross. This includes you who were once so far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has brought you back as his friend. He has done this through his death on the cross in his own human body. So our peace came through Jesus' death, and his death gives us the gift of peace. This sacrifice gave us a passage through Jesus to the Father. And by accepting Jesus, our Saviour, we have access to that peace. But there's a catch. There always is. It's not that simple. To have this peace fully, we have to resolve our own issues. We have to resolve our own sins. For our sins stand between us and this peace. In truth, we live a life of unrest. It's a form of quiet madness in a way. But as I said, because we are Christians, the Prince of Peace has already come to live in our hearts. And we have the reassurance and peace of mind of eternal life. All we need to do is understand fully and have peace in all aspects of our life. And when we do this, nothing can disturb it. Not financial troubles, not illness, not death. Through Jesus, we can indeed have the peace that God through Jesus we can have the peace of God that passes all understanding. And again, I go back to the Bible, I go back to 1 Philippians verse 4, 8 to 9. And Paul helps us with this task of finding God's peace. He tells us to live a pure life. I get told this all the time, actually, but if I read it, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than human mind can understand. His peace will guard your heart and mind as you live in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul tells these things not because he likes the sound of his own voice or he likes to see things written down. He tells these things because it's easy to forget where inner peace comes from. As I said, our life is chaos most of the time, and it's very easy to be pulled away. Experience shows that if we only watched the news on the TV and only read the daily papers, then we'd have a confused view of the world And we'd lose peace of mind because we would think that's all that exists. It's been shown that if teenagers mainly listen to music that promotes violence and sexual they're more likely to become violent and sexually promiscuous themselves. And these things, together, and the influences of our life, can make us cynical and unhappy with the lives that we have got. So we need to be mindful, because if we accept and digest a daily diet of rubbish, and the celebrity, and the bad news, and the obsession, the physical perfection, cynicism and materialism, then we'll very easily lose a concentration with God's peace. As I said earlier, the Lord's peace is a gift that he wants so desperately for us to have. And the only barrier to it is our own ability to realise this and stay true to him. As Christians, as I've said, we have the answer. It's faith in God. And that's all it really takes. Jesus fought a great battle for us. By giving his life, he has shown us he is willing to carry our heavy loads and our burdens. He said, "For my yoke fits perfectly." We just need to use it. Now, let me remind you again what Paul said. Pray about everything. You'll see the strength. So, share our troubles with the Lord. Let him worry about them. Pray about everything. Only move forward with his guidance. Pray about everything. I thought it was a thing. So the Lord, say, "Lord, this is what I need," and let him find it for you. Pray about everything. He saves, he forgives our sins. He will cast them to the deepest, darkest oceans. So if he forgives them, share those sins with him. Let him take them from us. Let him deal with them. Don't let it be a barrier to our inner peace. So, pray about everything. When life is hard, and evil comes knocking, as it does, we know what it does. It tempts us to turn and follow and run with the crowd. Remember, pray about everything. But there is a most important prayer. And this is a prayer of thanks. And it's so, so important to make sure that we thank the Lord. Because we must remember, first and foremost, the sacrifice the Lord made for us. And also the promise that he gives us. That promise of eternal life. Now, prayer is our connection to the Lord. And it's this connection that brings us his unworldly peace. And it's only that connection. So you guessed it. Pray about everything. Now, I have very little else to say, so I'm just going to conclude with this. Peace is a gift from Christ. You can't earn it. Only he grants such a gift because he is in control of everything. We must believe in the sovereignty of God and learn to let go and leave our burdens with him and take the gift of peace.